So we're looking this morning at this question, how does God help us in time of trouble? And I want to concentrate particularly on the verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. It's page 772 in our church Bibles. And our main theme is going to be focused there. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. If you've ever been on a boat in a storm, and particularly when it's dark, you know that it can happen that you're easily disorientated. You're not quite sure of which way you should be going and what's happening. And I've known people at sea say that you can even end up going round and round in circles thinking that you're going straight ahead. You've become disorientated, and so your body, as it were, is telling you one thing, and what you need is something on the ship or on the boat to make sure you are actually going in the right direction, and you don't just trust what you think may be happening. And what you need most of all is you need a compass. You need a compass to say, that's the way to go. Now, if that's true in a storm on a ship, it's equally true in our lives. When a storm comes, I'm talking about a storm in a figurative sense now. Troubles come, difficulties come, trials come. How are you going to chart the right course? How are you going to know which way to go? Well, James, in the reading that we read from James, says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Because in the midst of the trials, God can teach you something. The testing of your faith produces patience, James says. But I'm saying you'll need a compass to direct you. And that compass is given to us this morning in the Word of God, in the Bible. And I want to think about three ways in which this compass of the Bible helps us in time of trial as we look this morning at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. And the first truth that emerges as we look at this verse, I've tried to think of a word that expresses it. It's quite a difficult word. But in the first part of verse 13, Paul says to the Corinthians, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. So I've called it commonality, which isn't a particularly easy word, but I can't think of another one. Common to man. Because what happens is that very often in a time of trial, what happens is that the devil attacks you and says to you, and to me, you must be a very bad person. Because no one has ever gone through the sorts of things you're going through at this moment. So either God has forgotten you, or you must be a very bad person, or even if you cry out to God, he won't help you. No one else has ever been through what you're going through. And the Bible reminds us this morning, that's not true. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. Now, there's one very important thing to see in this verse. Because when we think of the word temptation, we tend to think of temptation to sin, temptation to do something wrong. And this word can mean that. But it would be wrong, actually, to limit its scope to only being tempted to do something wrong. I wanted to read from James, because exactly the same word is used by James in chapter 1, verse 2, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. It's exactly the same word. So we could translate this verse, verse 13, like this. No temptation, no trouble, no trial, no difficulty has overtaken you except such as is common to man. In other words, it's a wider word than just temptation to sin. It involves trial, difficulty, problem as well. So this provides for us, as it were, a starting point as we think about God's help in times of trouble, the principle of commonality. You can be absolutely sure, the Bible says, that you are not the only one who is facing the sort of problem you're facing. You haven't been singled out by God to be the one person in the history of the human race who has been selected to experience a trouble like this. No, there were others before you, and there will be others after you, and others have struggled against the same dragons and demons. And you can be assured that you are not being singled out in some way, which prepares us this morning, even if you at this present time are not going through difficulties. When that ambush comes, you're not the only one who's ever dealt with such a problem. This issue of commonality. And in the Western world, we have privileges that few other believers around the world have. We have the opportunity for an open Bible. We have the opportunity for Christian fellowship. We have the opportunity for good Christian literature as well. If you go to a Christian bookseller and look about Christians who have faced the kind of problem you're facing, you'll find that many Christians have written about trials that they've gone through all through the history of the church. And if you want the help of another Christian, even if there isn't someone in the congregation who's been through the sort of problem you're facing, you can be sure that there will be a Christian somewhere who will have written about how God has helped them in the face of such a trouble. So Paul says to you this morning, the Lord says to you through his word, when you're tempted to think you're on your own, no Christian has ever experienced this. No temptation, no difficulty has overtaken you except such as is common to man. And God, by his grace, and through his word and by his spirit, can use every difficulty that Christians experience to produce for you growth and in a way to display his glory, that you can actually fulfill this truth of commonality as well. That when you see someone going through something that you've experienced, you can put your arm around a fellow Christian and you can say, I've been there. God has helped me in a time like that. Can I pray with you? Can I talk to you? Can I help you? Because I know what you've been going through. Now, there are times when we can't do that with each other. There are times when people come to see me about difficulties. I personally haven't experienced them. But when they come, I know this for sure, no temptation has overtaken that person except such as is common to man. There is help. And there's help available because no Christian is ever alone and isolated in a situation that no Christian has ever experienced before. No, says the apostle. No, says the Bible. No, says the Lord to us this morning. That's the tactic of the devil, to isolate you and put you on your own. It's one of the reasons why coming together to study the Bible and coming together to pray is very important. Because in those settings, as we come together, we can help one another as believers in the times of trial and difficulty in life. So this issue of commonality. The second thing I see in this verse, commonality, I think I've made up a word called bearability. I don't know if there is such a word. If there isn't, there should be such a word. So he says, God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. God is faithful, will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. In other words, God will never let you go through something that you can't bear. He won't allow you to be tempted, to be going through a difficulty, a trial, beyond what you're able. In other words, God knows your limits. When you're driving along in a car, now and again you'll see a sign. Perhaps there's a bridge ahead. It's not a very strong bridge. Perhaps it's been built a long, long time ago. And there'll be a red sign, a red circle, with a picture of a lorry, and it'll say 7.5 tons. And that sign is telling you that bridge can't bear a load over 7.5 tons. So if you're in a lorry and the lorry's load is more than 7.5 tons, don't try and go over that bridge. It can't carry the load. Now, if we understand that as vehicles and lorries travel around, there are limits as to what a bridge can bear, we can know this for sure. God, who is sovereign, allows sometimes a trial, a difficulty in our lives. Do you think that God doesn't know your capacity of what you're able to bear? No, says the Bible to you this morning. You have this promise from God this morning. You may be going through a time when you feel the burden is very heavy, very great, very difficult. And yes, the burden is heavy. But the Bible says to you, you will not be crushed. You will not. Because God is faithful, and he will not allow it. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. And I'm saying that's important because all of us in the time of difficulty, again, have had this experience of thinking, where is God? Is God really there for me? We see God at work in the lives of other people. You can read a book about a Christian who God has helped in a similar problem to the one you're going through. But you may say, well, I've seen God working in supernatural ways in the lives of other people, but I don't sense God in this at all. Where is God? He doesn't seem to be at work in my life. Now, let me just say, when we think that, we have forgotten, of course, the supremely important fact that God's love is primarily demonstrated in the giving of his Son, Jesus Christ, to save us. It's the tactic of the devil to make us think, where is God? God demonstrates his love towards you this morning in that he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to die for you. That should be enough to grant us praise and thanksgiving and glory for all our lives. I see God's love at the cross. But having said that, Paul also goes on to say, the Lord is actually at work in your life every day. He's like, as it were, a guardian at the gate of your life. And if something comes along with a load that would be too difficult for you to bear and that would crush you, the Lord, as the guardian of your life, puts up a barrier. And he says, I will not allow that load into your life. That load would crush that person. So I'm not going to allow it. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. Every night as we go to bed, perhaps we should thank God that there have been many things through that day, countless things perhaps, where the Lord, as the guardian at the gate of your life, has said, no entrance, I'm not going to allow it. That load would crush this child of mine. And the Lord has stopped that load from crushing you. He's not allowed it to come into your life. And because the Lord knows what would be crushing blows, God is faithful. Who amongst us here this morning could accuse God of being unfaithful? No, says the Bible, God is supremely faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. So there's commonality. Other Christians have faced this problem too. There's bearability. God will not allow you to be crushed. And the third thing I see here is deliverance. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. But with the temptation, I'm using this temptation word now in this broader sense, temptation, difficulty, trial, problem, will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations, difficulties, trials. You may think this morning with the difficulty, there's no escape. There's no way out. This is an impossible situation. But God, the Bible says, is the God of deliverance. He makes the way of escape. So David was being hunted by Saul. And David found himself in a cold cave crying out to God. Listen to David as he cries out in Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? And all of us have known times when we have felt exactly like David felt as he wrote that, the opening verses of that psalm. How long, Lord? Are you going to forget me forever? Where's God? And sometimes when you feel like that, like David felt, you're prone to say, I know what I'll do. I'll look for a way of escape. I'll find a way out. I've got the resources. I've got the ability. I've got the strength. I can sort this out. And what do we forget? We forget, and which is what the devil wants us to forget, in the difficulty we forget God. So the children of Israel, who had been delivered from Egypt, God had performed many amazing miracles to deliver them, bring them out of Egypt. But they got to the Red Sea. They saw on the horizon the dust of the Egyptian army coming towards them. Now, what was their response? Did they say, well, God has already brought us out of Egypt by amazing signs and miracles? We'll cry out to God. Did they say, God has already shown his mighty power in Egypt? We'll cry out to God. Did they say, surely God can save us? We must cry out to God for help. No, here's what they said. They said, it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. That's Exodus 14, verse 12. What had they forgotten? They had forgotten to cry out to God for deliverance. But God is the God of deliverance. So the Lord says to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Exodus 14, verse 12. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. And you may know the rest of that story, that the Red Sea opened up, the Israelites walked through, the Egyptian army followed, God closed the sea, and the Egyptian army sank like stones. God's people were delivered. God is a God of deliverance. One Sunday morning, some years ago now, I came to the church where I was preaching that morning, and there was a young woman sobbing, crying her heart out in the front seat of the church. She'd come early, and she'd left her house that morning saying, if there is a God, God, will you help me? She'd been in prison for many years. She wasn't being allowed contact with her young son. And she felt she was trapped and there was no way out. And you saw in her, I saw in her, the amazing deliverance of God. God bringing her to salvation, to faith in Jesus Christ. God at work in her life, bringing her back to a restored relationship with her little son, who after a little while came back to live with her. God putting her life back together in such a way that she eventually became a probation officer working in female prisons, helping female prisoners. She had once herself been a prisoner. And the Lord had delivered her, set her free. And we forget to cry out to God sometimes. We think there's no way out, or we think, I'll have to find my own way out. But there is a sovereign God who is the God of deliverance. What must we do? Cry out to God. With the temptation, God will make the way of escape, says the Bible. So cry out to God. See, it's the devil's tactic to say, you'll have to do it yourself, or to think there's no way out. No, God can do above and beyond anything we think. But the tactic is to make us forget God. I don't know if you've ever been walking along I was walking along the street here the other day, and you come across one of these new electric cars. And what I hadn't realized was these new electric cars are so quiet that you don't know they're there. I can hear a car coming down the street, but if it's an electric car these days, we need to be careful. You can't hear it coming. And I was just about stepping up in the road, and along came this electric car. And my son was telling me the other day that actually the manufacturers now are starting to make the electric cars a bit noisier because this is happening all over the place. People can't hear them coming, and they step out in front of them. They don't know they're there. Now, sometimes in our trouble, it's like that with God. We forget God. We think God isn't there. Says the Bible, God, with the temptation, with the difficulty, with the testing, will make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. We forget sometimes God's power to bring good out of bad. In the Holiday Bible Club with the children, we were thinking about the story of Joseph in the Bible, who he ended up in prison, like my friend Christine. But God brought him through a time of incredible testing, that Joseph actually might be the one who would bring deliverance to his family. His brothers had dealt treacherously with him. But Joseph said to them, "You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive." Where is the power of God to bring good out of evil demonstrated supremely? It's demonstrated supremely at the cross. Was there ever a moment in the whole of human history, something so brutal, so unfair, when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was executed as a criminal? It seemed as if evil had won the day. The Son of God put to death. And yet God turned what seemed incredibly dark into something that is wonderfully powerful and liberating and life-changing this morning. That by that cross you can know redemption from sin. You can be set free from sin's guilt and shame and power by crying out to a Savior who will save to the uttermost all who come to God through faith in him. You can know a new life from God, the new power of God at work in a person's life that saves from death and destruction and despair and gives a new and living hope in a person's life. And you can be set free from the consequences of sin, which would be destruction and condemnation, to know peace with God and a home in heaven. Yes, sometimes we mess up in our lives. Sometimes we forget God. The Bible says, when that temptation comes in the midst of a trial to think, where is God? It's time to remember that at the cross, God turned something that seemed impossible into the most glorious salvation for all who trust this morning in Jesus Christ. So there is this commonality. In the time of trouble, you're not the first one who is going through the time of trouble. And in that time of trouble, God will not allow you to be crushed. He puts a load limit on your life. And in that time of trouble, rather than trusting in your own finite, limited, weak resources, why not cry out to a sovereign God who is the God of deliverance, the God who can save this morning you to the uttermost and all who come to him by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph asked his brothers when bringing deliverance to them, am I in the place of God, he said to them. He recognized ultimately he and they and all were in the hands of a sovereign God. God has power, I'm saying this morning, to hold on to you. The Old Testament often speaks of God's people being held by God's right hand or his right arm. It's a picture of the power of God. You see a parent walking down the road holding a little child by the hand. I think of my father when I couldn't carry those bags that I wanted to carry down the road. He just what seemed much too heavy for me was nothing for him. Picked me up, picked the loads up. He could carry them easily. I'm saying this morning, that's a picture in the Bible of what God does for his people. He can hold on to you. And he can lift you up. And he can keep you. And he can save you. We need to cry out to him. And if you've never before entrusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm saying, will you really entrust yourself to him this morning? This sovereign God of deliverance. Let's pray together. Let's all pray. Lord, we thank you. We praise you this morning that as the God of deliverance, you have shown us the wonder of that deliverance supremely at the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what a wonder it is that we who deserve only judgment and condemnation before God can know pardon, peace, and forgiveness through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, facing trials, difficulties in our lives, some at this very moment, and all of us at some times in our lives, we pray, Lord, that you'll help us to remember this truth of no doubt, no difficulty coming upon us, such as is common to man. We're not the only one facing this kind of a problem. And that God has placed this load limit for us. The difficulty, the temptation, the trial will not crush us. And help us, Lord, to remember to cry out to the God of deliverance, the God who has a mighty saving arm. The Lord who reaches out and holds his people and can lift them up. And we pray, Lord, for your help this morning. And that you'll teach us more and more to rely on your sovereign power and strength. And that you'll hear us this morning as we come in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to sing another hymn together. And again, this one is not in our hymn book, but it'll be displayed for us. O Lord, our guardian and our guide, be near us when we call, uphold us when our footsteps slide, and raise us when we fall. We'll stand to sing this together. Let's pray together. Lord, we ask this morning that the tempter will not prevail in our lives, but we shall cry out to the sovereign God of deliverance. And may you, Lord, manifest that saving power and deliverance more and more in our lives. We thank you this morning for that way of escape that you provide. And we praise you this morning as the God of our salvation, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with each one of us and all God's people, both this day and forevermore. Amen.